Hey, good morning, West Campus. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I just want to say a huge thank you to everyone who came out last week for our special Lakeview baptism service. It was an amazing time. We baptized 11 people, and I don't know about you, but I never get tired of seeing God change people's lives. It is one of the best things to be able to see that and to see Christ start a new work in people's lives. So thank you for everyone who came out and celebrated. The weather got a little dicey at the end, but we made it through, and I am grateful for that. And today we are starting a brand new sermon series. And through this sermon series, we're going to go through the book of Philippians. It's a short New Testament letter. And I want to encourage you, as we go through this for the next 8 weeks, to take some time and to read the book of Philippians along with this sermon series. It's only 4 chapters. So you could read it several times through this sermon series, and I think you'd get a lot out of it. And you're going to see this book is so rich, and there is so much in it for us today. But before we dive in, would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the joy that you offer to us. Father, I pray that you could help us to see the power and the wisdom that you wrote down in this book through the Apostle Paul. I pray it would bless us, I pray it would shape us, and I pray we could find some new currents of joy in our lives today. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, many years ago, I was at Chicago, and I was in a debriefing of the Willow Creek Leadership Summit. There was about 50 to 100 pastors and leaders there. We were in this hotel conference room, and there was this speaker there, and she was just kind of leading us through this session on feedback. And she opened the session, and she said, all right, who in this room, when you get negative feedback, how long does it affect you? You know, if someone criticizes you, they criticize your sermon, they criticize a leadership decision you make, they bring you some bad news that really hurts or is heavy, says, how long till you can shake that off? Can you shake it off immediately? Does it take a couple days? Does it take a week? Does it take a couple weeks? And she began to kind of ask like that, like, do you go home and do you think about it and ruminate on it? And then she kind of just put a time frame to it. She said, how many people does it take, you know, maybe a couple days to a week? And I was listening to that. I was like, well, yeah, when I get criticized or someone says hurtful words or just, you know, bad news or tough news, it usually takes me at least a couple days to a week to shake it off. That sounded right to me. So I raised my hand. And then naturally, I looked around the room because I thought I was fairly normal in that. And out of a room of 50 to 100 people, it was only me and this other guy that raised our hand. And she said, well, you guys are the sensitive ones. I was like, what? You tricked me. I would have never raised my hand if I knew you're gonna just turn this around. And I looked at that guy, and I think we both felt a little bit uncomfortable and vulnerable and out of place, and I guess apparently we were the sensitive ones, or everybody else was lying. That's what I'm choosing to believe today. But it gave me a new perspective. I thought, man, maybe I am a little bit more sensitive to that kind of thing than I realized. And today I want to ask you a question. I'm not going to make you raise your hand or anything like that. I'm not going to embarrass you. But how easily is your joy conquered in life? How hard is it to bring you down? What does it take to ruin your day? Does it take just a small thing or a couple small things? Or is your joy pretty strong where it's going to take something really, really big, really, really monumental? How resilient is your joy? And I got to be honest with you, sometimes my joy is not as resilient as I want it to be. Sometimes just kind of like when I was in that room in Chicago, sometimes I realize, man, Chet, you let your well-being sometimes get conquered a little bit too easy. Sometimes you don't even seem to fight. You just roll over and let disappointment and anger and frustration win. And today I want to talk to you and I want to talk to me about a better way forward. We're going to look through the book of Philippians, and this is a book that has a strong theme of joy in it. And what is so powerful about it is that the great apostle Paul, he's writing this book not from a joyful place, but from prison. And he's writing it from a cell. But no matter the fact that he's in this cell, that he's imprisoned, his joy is still not conquered in this moment. And he's writing to a church and he's saying, you know what? My joy is not conquered and I don't want your joy to be conquered either. And I want to show you a way to an invincible joy. And today I hope that we can learn this together because I think we need that this year. Man, this year, no matter how strong your joy is, there's been a lot of reasons for it to be conquered. No matter how resilient it is, I bet your joy, like my joy, has been tested. And today, I want to look at this passage, and the Apostle Paul is going to help us to find new currents of joy. See, the book of Philippians isn't going to necessarily take away all our pain, all our struggles, and all our difficulties. But what I hope that it will do for us today is to say and show us that even in the midst of that, there might be some currents that we aren't tapping into that can refresh our joy this morning. And so we're going to read just verse by verse through this whole book. And I'm going to begin by reading to you the first 11 verses of Philippians. And here's how the letter opens. It says this, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Actually, the original language says slaves of Christ Jesus. You think I'm a Roman prisoner, but I'm actually a prisoner to the Lord Jesus Christ. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. To the Philippian church, the church full of saints. Wow, that must be like a really holy church. That must be like, these guys must really have their acts together. I'm going to tell you, they don't. They're just normal people like you and me. But Paul says, you're saints in Christ Jesus with the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. See, Paul planted the church in Philippi. If you read through the book of Acts, if you read Acts chapter 16, you can see how the church began. And it's a crazy and chaotic story. But in the midst of it all, God is there doing amazing things. And Paul says, when I think about you and I think about the church and I think about what God has done in my prayer, it brings me joy. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Here's where it comes from, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. We are co-workers in God's work in this world and spreading the message of the gospel. You've been with me since day one. I know you're with me now. So this brings me joy. I love this. This is one of my favorite verses in all the New Testament. And I am sure of this. A lot of things I'm not sure of. Not sure if I'm going to get out of this prison cell. Not sure what my future looks like. Not sure where the economy's going. Not sure how the Browns are going to do this season. But I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. That God started something in you and God is going to finish it in you. I am sure of that. It's right for me to feel this way about you all. Don't argue with me on this. I'm right on this because I hold you in my heart for you are all partakers with me of grace, even in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You haven't quit. You haven't turned your back on God or me. For God is my witness how I yearn for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus, and it is my prayer that your love would abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, Paul opens this letter. He introduces himself. He, says who he's writing it to. And then he talks a little bit about their history. and their prayer. And there's a lot in these verses. I'm not going to be able to cover all of it today, but I do want to share with you three powerful currents of joy in this passage. Three currents of joy that today we can grab hold of. Paul said, I've got some joy. I'm praying with joy. I'm confident about the future. He's tapping into these powerful currents of joy. And I want to show you how we can tap into them as well. And here's the first one that I want you to see. It's what I call the practice of true and more true. The practice of true and more true. This is the first current of joy. Let me show it to you. Again, if you look at this letter, he opens it to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. And this is what I call the practice of true and more true. Now, Philippi was this very interesting ancient city. It had this prestigious blessing of being a Roman colony, which was a distinct blessing that it was given to it. It was successful. It had a lot of ex-military members who had given their careers and their lives to protect Rome. So it was very dignified and prestigious in many ways. But just like any place in the ancient or modern world, it was a place filled with broken people. And the people who began and became the church of Philippi were people that are no different than you and me. What I mean by that is that they had light and dark within them. They had good and bad. They loved God and they were growing in their relationship with God, but they had days where they didn't get it right. And it would have been easy for Paul to say to the sinners in Philippi, that would have been a true statement. They were imperfect people. He could have said to the broken people of Philippi. That would have been accurate too. That would have been true. But he says, no, I'm going to address it to the saints in Philippi, in Christ Jesus. Now, this is the reality that Paul looks at the world and he looks at people. And when he looks at the world and people, he defines them not by what is true just in their own nature, but what is true about them by the grace of God. See, there's always two stories going on. There's the story of the natural. There's the story of the normal. It's the story that most of us get caught up in. We see it, we understand it, we get it, we know it, we live it. But then there's always this other story too. It's the story of Jesus Christ. And it's the story of his presence in our lives. It's the story of being in him. And there are things that are true about my natural and normal life, but then there are also things that are true because I am in Jesus Christ. And what is true because I am in Jesus Christ, I would argue, the Apostle Paul would argue, is even more true than what is natural and normal to me. So Paul says, yes, it's true, Philippians, you're not perfect. You don't always get it right. There's some characters in your church. Just like, guess what? There's some characters in our church too. And if you're like, who could that be? Well, if you're struggling to think of them, it might be you. I'm a character too. That's right. We're all in good company. But the point is that Paul says, I'm not going to define you by what is natural and normal and true. I'm going to define you by what is more true. That you are in Jesus Christ. And though, yes, you're a flawed person, you, by the grace of God, are a saint in God's sight. That is the more true reality. Because at the end of the day, Jesus Christ, his purpose and his work is going to win in your life. It's going to win in my life. It's going to win in this world. And so this in-between time, before it happens, yes, there's truth to, we don't get it right, we struggle, we're in prayer, all that. But what is more true is what Christ is doing and will one day complete. And Paul says, I'm choosing to look through the lens of the more true in Christ. And today, I want you to look through that lens too. You can look at yourself and you can see everything that's wrong. And I'm not asking you to be naive to that. I'm not asking you to not acknowledge that. You can acknowledge it and be aware of it and understand it. And I think the more self-aware, the better. But you also need to be aware of who you are in Jesus Christ. You also need to be aware of the more true of Jesus Christ. And that has to be the lens that shapes our perspective of reality more than anything else. I think about this in kind of funny ways to me, but I love listening to General Mattis, James Mattis. He was a 4-star Marine general. He was a former Secretary of Defense, and just a really funny guy to listen to. If you ever listen to his interviews or read his books. But one of the things that I heard him say in an interview one time, they said, "General Mattis, when you go to bed at night, what do you stress about?" And very quickly, he said, "Nothing. I don't stress about anything. I create stress." And he was being a little bit facetious here. But he said, I don't stress about my enemies, but I make sure that they're going to bed at night stressing about me and what I'm going to do. And what do you, that perspective to me, I love it. But what he's saying, yeah, it's true. America has enemies, and it's my responsibility to protect America against those. But rather than living in that reality, what's more true is that I'm a far greater threat to them, and they better worry about me. It's a different way of looking at the world. Just this last week, as we were getting ready for the beach service, I was obsessively looking at the weather. And you know, church, if you've been with us this summer, you know that me picking dates of activities has not gone well. Pretty much torrential downpour every time, terrible weather. So as we were gearing up for Lakeview service, I was looking at the weather, and as the week went on, it looked worse and worse for our service. But we were committed. We've been telling you, hey, we're going to do this. We've been putting it on social media, and I kind of felt like we had crossed the point of no return. We're not going back. We got people to baptize. We got to honor Christ in this beautiful milestone in people's lives. So we don't have a backup plan. And as it got closer and I felt my anxiety actually rise, I just had a time of prayer. I was like, all right, Lord, I know you're good. I know that you want to bless us. I know you want us to celebrate baptisms. I know you want to glorify your name. But have you checked the weather? Because it's not looking good. And Lord, I could just really use some blessing and help. And I had just this real honest moment of prayer with the Lord. And I felt like the Lord taught me something in that moment. It's something I've been carrying with me since. And I felt like God just kind of directing my thinking. It wasn't an audible voice. It was nothing mystical. But it was just God guiding me in my thinking. I felt the Lord saying to me, "Chet, I have always been faithful to you. I have never failed you." And I thought about that. God has never failed me. And I just thought back on all these moments in ministry, all these moments in my personal life. I thought about all these times where it looked like, and it was at times, something disappointing, something painful. But then as I walked through it with God, I found his faithfulness. I found his goodness. I experienced something that I would have never expected from this circumstance. And then I just thought about all the blessings that I didn't deserve. And I just began to see the truth of that statement in a new way. And so for the rest of the week, I would look at the weather, but then I would say to my soul, "Yeah, Chet, but God has never failed you. And you know what? If there's going to be a torrential downpour, then he's got a purpose for it. He's got glory in it." And you just go smiling into that downpour. And amazingly, church, as you know, man, the weather was perfect right up until we ended service. But you know what? I will take that all day long because God has never failed me. And so, church, what I'm trying to tell you today is that there is a current of joy that you can grab hold of. It's the more true in Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's true. The weather doesn't look good. But here's what's more true. Christ has never failed me. It might be true you're in a painful moment right now, but here's what's more true. What the enemy meant for evil, God will turn for good. Yeah, it's true. It doesn't look good, but here's what's more true. Christ will show up and meet you. And church, when you choose to focus on that current, it increases our joy. Because what is more true is how Christ defines your identity, how Christ defines your reality, how Christ defines your present and your future. And when we focus on that, we find a new current of joy. Paul says, you guys are saints. Yeah, I can say other stuff about you, but here's what's most true about you. You're a saint. And here's what's most true about your life today. You are a saint too. Christ has a purpose. He will not fail you or forsake you. Then Paul goes on, verse 3, and he begins to go into this prayer of thanks. He says, I thank God in my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. Here's another current of joy. Where's my joy coming from? It's becoming from this reality. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. This is the joy of partnership in the gospel. Paul says, Philippians church, church of Philippi, I find this great joy that we are serving God together in our generation. I find this great joy as I pray for you that I know we're in the fight together. We're here. We're trying to make the name of Jesus famous, to make it known, to help people connect to it, to see lives transformed through it. And I know we're in this together. And Paul says, there's a great joy that that brings me. And I identify with this joy. I really, really do. I've found the joy of camaraderie in different areas in life. You know, when I was young, playing sports, there's a camaraderie that you get on a sports team. And it's kind of funny that the more you end up suffering in practice or whatever, the stronger your camaraderie becomes and the more bonds that get created. I found a camaraderie in the military. There's a special brotherhood and sisterhood that exists there. It's a blessing. It's something special. There's camaraderie in our workplaces. There's camaraderie that gets created in all different kinds of ways. But I have to be honest with you, I really agree with Paul here. The greatest camaraderie I've ever found is in the partnership of the gospel with others. The most life-giving relationships in my life have come from the relationships that are connected to my desire to serve God and to spread the gospel and to glorify his name. There's blessings in all the others. I love being part of teams. I love being part of the military. I love all the other places of camaraderie. But I'm telling you, there's something special about being linked with others in service to Jesus Christ. It's something that is beyond words to express. And Paul says, it brings me great joy to be serving in the work of the gospel with you. And here's what I want you to know today, church. This is another current of joy for us. That maybe for some of us, we're not engaged in the work of God. We're not engaged in serving the work of the gospel. And because of that, we're missing a powerful current of joy. I know this last year for many of us, we were engaged before COVID. We were serving. We felt it. We know what Paul's talking about here. We lived it. We felt a sense of connectedness to our brothers and sisters in ministry. But then COVID hit and everything changed and our opportunity to serve looked different or didn't exist anymore. And now we've kind of lost that. And I want to invite you back. I want to invite you back into partnership with the gospel. There's all different ways that it looks. Some of us, we partner in the work of the gospel by preaching and teaching. Others of us, it's by loving and serving babies. Others of us, it's by running tech and sound. It's by leading life groups. It's by serving in the community. There's all different ways, but here's what I want you to know. God is inviting you and me to be his partner in this work. to be a co-worker in this work. Paul says that through this work, what I found is I found life-giving relationships. I found a friendship that is built on the presence of God. And every friendship built on the presence of God is just a little bit different than any other friendship in the world. It doesn't mean it doesn't have challenges, but here's what it does mean. It has a depth of blessing that I don't think you can find anywhere else. Paul says, your relationship, our partnership, it brings joy, it brings life to me. Paul also says that in this work of the gospel, we've all grown. That when we unite in this camaraderie, we become more of who God wants us to be. We grow in grace, we grow in wisdom, we grow in love. I know that in my life, the single thing that has grown me the most is just my commitment to serve Christ in the church. It's not always been easy. I haven't always wanted to do it. I've tried to run from it at times. But here's what I will say. It has been worthwhile. And nothing has grown me like being part of this church and looking at us as a church and saying, how can we serve Christ in this generation? How can we bring the gospel? And we plan and we pray and we serve and we love and we do what we can to partner with God in his work in the world. It's been the thing that has stretched me and grown me the most. And Paul says that in doing all this, there is glory and praise that comes from God. When you and I decide to partner with God in the work of the gospel, there's growth, there's camaraderie, there's friendship. And there's glory and honor and praise that God gets. You are part of God's important work. You may not know what your part is. You may feel like even, man, I question that I do have a part. But I want you to know today, you absolutely do. And you will find joy in playing that part. Next Sunday after service, after our 11 o'clock service, we're going to do just an informal meeting. We're going to have some donuts, and we're going to talk about what it means to be part of the dream team here at Christ Church. And what we mean by the dream team is all those who volunteer and serve. And I'm going to just kind of share some ideas with you, help you find your place if you want to get connected and involved. If you want to join in the partnership of the gospel in our church, then come hang out after service next week, after the 11 o'clock. Have some donuts. We'll have a conversation. I want to help you be part of this great work of God here. Paul says, it brings me joy. And then here's the last current of joy today, verse 6. Paul says, and you know what? I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I love that verse so much. You know the saying, I may be done, but I'm not finished? I love that saying. That's kind of one of those sayings that you say when you put your foot in your mouth. You know, I know this wasn't received well, but I'm just going to keep making my point just one more time. I may be done, but I'm not finished. And there are times in life where we may be done, but Christ is not finished with us. I want you to know today that when you think you have exhausted the grace of God, Christ reminds us that his grace is inexhaustible. That he is committed to finishing the work that he has started in you and me today. Church, I want you to know today, if there is any life of Christ in you, it may be on life support. It may hardly be there. But if there is any life of Christ in you, I want you to know today that God is not going to let it die. That he is going to nurture it. He is going to bring it to full health. And he is going to complete what he has started. Notice Paul says, I'm not confident that you're going to finish your commitment to God, but I am confident God is going to finish his commitment to you. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of projects at home that I've started and I've never finished. Sadly, it's a pattern in my life. I'm a great starter. I'm not a great finisher. But God is great at both. God starts and God finishes. And there is joy. There is joy today knowing that God is never going to give up on you, even when you give up on him. even those days where you turn your back on the Lord, where you just, you fall off, you fail. Maybe you've been in a season of that. Maybe you've been in a decade of that. Maybe it's been so long, you just can't even imagine getting back in the game. But Paul's saying, hey, I want you to know, he who began a good work will see it to completion. If you're not dead, you are not done. The Lord has more work for you. The Lord has more work to do in you. And the Lord has more work to do through you. And don't let your mind, don't let anyone tell you anything different. Paul says, I find joy knowing that God is faithful to the work that he starts in us. Maybe some of us, we're worried for our son or our daughter who they loved God at one point in their life, but now they've drifted away. And we're filled with anxiety. We're filled with worry because we knew that. We saw that work and we knew it was real. It was good. It was holy. But then all this happened and now here they are. And I want you to cement this verse in your heart today. And I want you to begin to pray it over your son or your daughter, your loved one, and say, God, you promised that you started that work in them, that you would see it into completion. So I'm praying for it. I'm praying for them. And I want you just to flood your mind with the power and the truth of this promise. Until you see God finish it in that person you're worried about. Sometimes I have to pray this prayer for me. Sometimes I say, all right, Lord, I'm in a bad spot, but I know you will not quit on me. And I'm asking you not to quit on me. I'm trusting you won't quit on me. And I'm starting fresh again because of this work, that you will see this work to completion. It's a current of joy. Some of you, you might need to just tap into that joy today. God is faithful to you. Paul says, I'm in prison. I'm getting lied about. I'm getting slandered. I'm getting threatened. I don't know if I'm going to make it out of this cell. And I don't know what the future holds. But I know this. My joy is alive and well. It's not conquered. It's not broken. I still find it. I'm finding different currents. I'm tapping into them, and they're making me stronger. In fact, I got so much joy and strength that I'm going to pour some into you, church in Philippi. And I want you to find it too. Church, I don't know about you, but in my life, I know how to tap into the currents of fear, negativity, and anger. Those are familiar to me. I understand them. But the currents of joy, I'm learning how to tap into those more and more. And those currents are way better. It might take us a minute to learn. It might take us some mental discipline to change and to replace our thoughts, to meditate on the truth of Scripture, to organize our lives so that we can partner with others in the work of the gospel. But here's what I know. The more that we lean into these currents, the stronger our joy will become. And my prayer for you through this series is that God would build in you and God would build in me and God would build in our church an invincible joy through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus, I thank you that these currents are here and they're free to us. I pray, Lord, that we would just practice the more true in you. Father, that we would define ourselves, we would define other people, we would define our circumstances by not just what is apparently true, but what is more true because of your presence, because of our standing through Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that we could tap into the current of the joy of partnering with others in the work of the gospel. Father, some of our lives are empty today because we do not have any skin in the game in the work of the gospel. And I pray we would get in the game. And Father, I pray that some of us could just find incredible encouragement that you will not forsake us. You will not abandon us. That no matter what the evil one has tried to tell us and lie to us, no matter what our own mind has convicted and shamed us with, Lord, that at the end of the day, none of it is greater than your commitment to finish your good work. I pray it would strengthen our joy. And I pray, Father, that we could shine like bright and shining lights in our world today. And I ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.